Hey everybody, Martin here. The video you're about to watch is a very important video. There are some things mentioned here that I've never mentioned before in the context of the day, which is the amazing secret revelation that some human beings will not be put to repose. Paul's evangel is built in, let me put it this way, built into Paul's evangel is a beautiful expectation that maybe we're not going to have to die. And the reason there's no date on our snatching away is so that saints of every era can anticipate the very real possibility that these may be our last moments upon the earth. The reason I'm doing this introduction is I've already made the video, but I noticed at the 22-minute mark of my expounding quite animatedly upon this great truth, I toggled over to look at my audio input, and for some strange reason, I've been doing this for how long? My audio stopped recording with no notification, no nothing. I could still hear it coming through the headphones, but the audio was gone. I was quite upset. But I was still able to save that file, intending to use it. But I decided that I would just through the whole audio. The problem was I realized at minute 22 that my audio had stopped working at minute 13. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, so there's 9 minutes, 9 glorious minutes of the heart of this message that were not recorded on the Shure microphone. So, of course, with the Shure microphone, the sound quality is great, and with the onboard phone, not so much. But rather than have you listen to some fine audio and then suddenly have to drop into some mediocre but passable audio, you can certainly hear the message. I decided I would just play the whole video on the onboard microphone on my camera. So, you'll be hearing it like this. I tweaked it a little bit, so it'll be a little better than this, I hope. That's where the cookie crumbles. I don't like it. My eyes are still bad from the allergic reaction I had yesterday to the shellfish. I think they are. Maybe you think they're gorgeous. I don't. So I wore my sunglasses during the video I just made, like this. I'm very happy with the video that I made. I'm very happy with it. I was distressed when I found out that the audio had cut out without my realization. It was a very strange thing. Then I realized Satan doesn't like this message. Okay, but the message was recorded anyway. So then I settled myself down, knowing that all is of God. So I now commend to you a video I have not named yet, but that I think in the context of a generation of people in the body of Christ who will not die, this is a revelation you've never heard before.
MZTV.
I appreciate a man who is confident, but if you have nothing to base your confidence on, well, that's a completely different story, isn't it? And Clyde Pilkington, who is becoming the father of We All Must Die, has no foundation for his confidence. It's just a free-willing carefree confidence, really, with, again, cherry-picked scripture verses, cherry-picked testimonies from notable writers, outright mistranslations of scriptures, purposely cherry-picked versions that say what he wants to be said. And so that kind of confidence, it's what's launched me on this. And do you remember when I was being accused of telling people to sin? And you remember that launched us on a whole study of Romans 8, Romans 7, Romans 6. And even though we've studied those chapters before, it brought out all these new things. The same thing is happening here. This is so wonderful. It's so great. And as I've said on the Acts 28:28 theory, and this everyone in the body of Christ must die nonsense, the best evidence against the position is the evidence they put forward for the position, because the evidence is so bad you just roll your eyes and think that's it, this is their argument. Whoa, our arguments is the best. Our argument rocks and rules. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. You know, God is doing amazing things all the time. The fact that simply because all humanity are dying in Adam, and yes, they are, that God can't just step in, like the example I gave yesterday, have Paul pop out of a cake and say, surprise, there's a wild exception to this, a wild exception to this rule. Mark the pirate wrote yesterday, he said, I can't believe you had Paul popping out of the cake. Why not Tryphena and Tryphosa? That was a good point. I'm going to have to wheel in a cake after Paul's cake where Tryphena and Tryphosa come out of there and they will say, comfort one another with these words. There's another thing. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to be getting to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But this is to be, I'm going to get back to the miracles here too. But this is to be our expectation. Every single member of the body of Christ to expect that they will not die. Well, I mean, we don't know if we're the ones, like I said yesterday, but just the possibility that we could be the ones. I mean, the fact that some members of the body of Christ won't die, that's not a possibility. That's a surety. That is something that is definitely going to happen. And we rejoice in that. And our expectation isn't necessarily that we're the ones. Our expectation is in the truth itself. We're not so selfish that, well, if I'm not the one snatched away while alive, then I'm just going to blow up the whole city. I don't want this truth to be true. No, I want it to be true, whoever it's true for. And we are supposed to think that it's true for us. And I'm going to bring you evidence today that Paul thought it was going to be true for him. The fact that another day goes by and we're not yet snatched away, does that wreck anything for us? It doesn't me, because the next day is the dawn of a new day of expectation. And just thinking about it helps me get through my day. And it's not just mind candy. It's not just some empty fantasy. No, it is based on the Word of God. It's based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It's based on 1 Corinthians 15. Start with verse 44, if you like, through the end of the chapter. And it's also based on Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 3. I mean, we are loaded with evidence. We can stand with confidence and lift up our heads with confidence, awaiting our Savior out of the heavens, who will transfigure. That's an important word I'm going to get into today. I got a lot of things to do today, don't I? Transfigure our mortal bodies into a body like his glorious body. Elijah, taken away in a chariot of fire. He came back down, but nevertheless, that was quite a remarkable event, was it not? Philip was translated. Philip was taken away, disappeared when he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. Kind of a rude exit, but the man just disappeared and showed up in Azotus, another city quite a distance away. That was a remarkable event. That kind of went against the laws of nature, wouldn't you say? And wouldn't you say that some people who are alive, who will not have to die but be transfigured rather than resurrected, wouldn't that be defying the laws of the general scheme of things that most people die? Yes, it sure is. And it's quite exciting, isn't it? Doesn't God love to do that? And again, we're not just hoping he does it. We have scriptural words from God via Paul that he is going to do it. Isn't it remarkable that Jesus Christ, who was not mortal, did not have Adamic blood running through his veins. He had blood, it just wasn't Adamic blood. That was the last person, the Son of God, it was the last person you would expect to die, and yet he gave up his life. Nobody could take it from him. He gave it up. So isn't that interesting that we have the Son of God who, what? He can't die. He's not mortal like Adam. Yes, but he gave up his life and he died. That's shocking. How shocking is this? That mortal people who do have the blood of Adam running through their veins, some of them won't die. Oh, God just loves doing this stuff. And to stiff arm this truth, what a party pooper. Clyde's a party pooper, and so is anybody else who joins this party. Who wants to go into a party where everybody's just sitting around, like calling the funeral home and making arrangements? Let's make arrangements. I don't want to go there. What that? Let's make arrangements. All because they just don't believe. They strain to try to make 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 not apply to us, even though Paul's writing to the same body of Christ. All right, now I've been promising I have to deliver this. If I don't deliver this today, let us go to Philippians chapter 1. I want to start with verse 12 because I'm convinced that Paul also had this beautiful expectation. Paul thought that any day he could be translated, transformed, transfigured. This is different than being resurrected. While he stood on his feet. Yep, Paul taught it. It was not only for the people he talked to, it was for him also. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I am intending you to know, brethren, that my affairs have rather come to be for the progress of the evangel. That's important to note, to keep that in mind. So that my bonds in Christ became apparent in the whole praetorium and to all the rest. And Paul was arrested in Philippi along with Silas. There was a miraculous earthquake. There you go again. God doing something weird, breaking everybody from their bonds. He did it with Peter too. Sent an angel in to loose his bonds. Did I mention it? Paul went to the third heaven too? And he didn't even know if it was in a body or outside of a body. He didn't know. It could have been without his body, but how interesting if his body had been taken to the realm that ordinarily, well, that's impossible. That couldn't have happened. That just doesn't happen with human bodies. We need air to survive. We need food. We need water. We just can't exist in the celestial realm. Therefore, Paul was not taken to the third heaven in a body. But Paul wasn't sure whether it was in a body or without a body. But the fact that in Paul's mind, it was possible that he had been taken to the third heaven in a body, I find that very interesting because that's very against the laws of nature. And the people at Clyde's party with all having the funeral home on speed dial, they don't want to hear about that. Isn't that what from one of Paul's earlier epistles? Okay, yeah, so, you know, forget it. If it's from one of Paul's earlier epistles, you could ignore it, according to the Acts 28:28 nonsense. Okay, back to Philippians chapter 1. So that my bonds in prison, in the jail, in Philippi, my bonds in Christ became apparent in the whole praetorium and to all the rest, and the majority of the brethren having confidence in the Lord, as to my bonds are more exceedingly daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. Some indeed are even heralding Christ because of envy and strife, yet some because of delight also. These indeed of love, having perceived that I am located for the defense of the evangel, yet those are announcing Christ out of faction, not purely, surmising to rouse affliction in my bonds. Verse 18, what then? It's coming, don't worry. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I still have my sunglasses on because of the swelling I experienced yesterday after eating that shellfish. My face was just puffy and my eyes were really out of shape. And I was worried about breathing for a while there. Breathing very important to, generally very important to mortal beings. But I recovered enough yesterday to do the show, but my eyes are still not pretty like I want you to see them. So I'm sorry. I am a little vain, so I'm wearing my sunglasses again. Sorry, I should have explained that at the beginning of the show. I meant to. These indeed, out of love, are announcing the evangel purely. Others, out of faction, not purely. Paul says, seeing that by every method, this is his thing, by every method, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being announced, I'm rejoicing in this also and will be rejoicing nevertheless. For I am aware that for me, this will be eventuating in salvation through your petition and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in accord with my premonition and expectation that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but with all boldness and always, as always, now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. Here we go. Paul says, Christ will be manifested in my body, whether through life or through death. What does he mean by that? Let's read on. That was verse 20. This is verse 21. For to me, to be living is Christ, and to be dying, gain. Well, we understand the to be living is Christ, but what is this to be dying, gain? Is Paul saying that death will take him, usher him to be with the Lord? No. And I want to make this perfectly clear. I am not saying or even hinting at that death takes us to be with Christ. I'm not saying that at all, because I know that's not true. Death is oblivion. Death is the opposite of life. It is non-existence. The body returns to the soil, the spirit returns to God, and the soul disappears. Figuratively speaking, goes to Hades. It just, you can't see it anymore. That is what death is. All I'm saying is what Paul is saying, that there are some who will not die, some in the body of Christ. Well, of course, Paul said, for we shall not all be put in repose. I explained that yesterday. Repose is figurative for death. Put in repose would be the beginning of death. When you're put into a state where after a long time, you will be considered to have been reposing. I settled that yesterday. Paul's obviously talking about death. Here, it's without a question that he's talking about death. He's talking about life, and he's contrasting it with death. For me to be living is Christ, to be dying gain. It would be gain for the work in that everything Paul did. In that, if Paul died a martyr, it would further the cause of Christ. It would be gain because of the confidence that people would have, that the believers would have. It would energize them just like all martyrdom does. It energizes people. They become incensed at the affront and they become more bold. Just like when Paul was in prison here in Philippi, people became more bold. More bold. Some did it out of faction, some purely, but nevertheless, isn't that a strange thing? So in that way, death would be gain to Paul. And now this, listen to this. Now, if it is to be living in flesh, this to me means fruit from the work, right? We got that. That's easy to understand. Living will be fruit from the work, but dying would be gain for the cause, not to Paul. Now listen to this. If it is to be living in flesh, I'm in verse 22, this to me means fruit from work, and what I shall be preferring, I am not making known. What do you mean, Paul? What you should be preferring. Paul has two options set before him, life and death. No being put to repose here. It is life and death. And Paul says, what I shall be preferring, that is, do I prefer to live? Do I prefer to die? I am not making known. Verse 23, yet I am being pressed out of the two, having a yearning for the solution and to be together with Christ, for it rather is much better. This is a lightning bolt of truth. This is revelation. I knew this before, but I've never considered it in this context of Paul's earlier statement in 1 Corinthians 15:51 that we shall not all be put to repose. That was a secret, Paul said in that verse, lo to you, a secret. Am I telling we shall not all be put to repose, yet we shall all be changed. Repose, it is, of course, death. And here Paul is setting two choices before him, life or death. And he says, I'm being pressed out of the two. In other words, I'm not going to choose life or death. I'm going to choose a third thing, namely being together with the Lord. But Paul, don't you know Clyde says that you can't be together with the Lord unless you die? Paul says, no, I don't choose death in this hypothetical choice I'm giving myself. I choose being together with the Lord. But Paul, you have to die in order to be together with the Lord. This verse proves that you don't. Now, I know the King James here in verse 23 says, yet I am in a strait betwixt the two. That is a really embarrassingly bad translation. I can explain it some other time. It'll take too long to explain today. Joseph Kirk does a great job explaining this in his book, Death, Resurrection, and Immortality. And of course, Mr. Nock, who translated the Concordant Version, has an explanation. The word ek is here, out of. And the verb pressed is present here. So in a straight between or betwixt the two is just unworkable and it can be easily shown. It's not my intention to do that. I can do it, but I'm not going to do it now. But trust this translation. I'm being pressed out of the two, having a yearning for the solution to his dilemma. What do I choose, life or death? Neither one. There's a third thing, being together with Christ. And isn't it interesting? That's the exact wording, almost the exact wording, nearly the exact wording of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And thus, we shall always be together with the Lord. And Paul says he wants to be together with Christ, for it rather is much better. If it'll help you, if I make an analogy, let me do that. Let's say you're being robbed at gunpoint, and you have two options that come up to you. Do I want to fight or flee? If I fight, I might lose my life. If I flee, I might lose my life, but at least I might have a chance of getting away. Do I fight or flee? Fight or flee? There's only two options, right? But no, I have a third option. I would rather be in my house now in bed. I would rather be home. Someone could say, well, wait a minute. You can't be home unless you flee. No, I'm definitely not choosing those two options. I'm not either going to fight or flee, but I want to be home. Well, you can't be home unless you flee. Well, unless a helicopter comes and sends down a rope and pulls you up, for example, or a trap door under the street opens up and takes you down away from the criminal. But some crazy thing has to happen, some different thing, some really otherworldly thing has to happen if you're not going to choose fleeing as one of your options. I'm being pressed out of those two. I'm being pressed out of fight or flee. I want a third thing. I want to be home. This proves, Paul's statement here proves that you can get home, i.e. be with Christ without death. This perfectly agrees with his revelation in 1 Corinthians 15:51. This verse proves that you can be together with Christ without dying, because Paul is being pressed out of a choice that includes only two options, living and dying, life and death. Which one do you choose, Paul? Neither one. I want to be together with Christ, for that is much better. Verse 23, Philippians chapter 1. This verse, it's like a Rosetta Stone verse. This is a silver bullet that destroys the Acts 28 position, which insists that the Paul that wrote Philippians wrote to a completely different audience than the Paul that wrote to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. That was an early body of Christ consisting of Jews. It became extinct, like the dodo bird and the stegosaurus and triceratops, and we don't need to read that stuff. It doesn't apply to us. How convenient for the folks who latch onto this nonsense, that it does away with the snatching away, which they're scared of. It does away with not dying, which they want to die because they don't necessarily want to die. They just want to live a long life and have their great-great-grandchildren on their knee. Okay, that's all understandable, but it becomes an insult when you embrace that above and beyond the Word of God, and then when you strain to twist scriptures to accommodate your soulish need, your soulish desire to have the great-grandchildren on your knee, and then that's fine by itself if you want to personally engage in that. Okay, whatever gets you through the night, you know? But then to write a book and to slap the face of people whose expectation this is, and who can rightly read the scripture, who don't have to finagle the scripture, who don't have to cherry pick quotes, use bad translations. Oh, no, what a slap in the face. That's why I'm making these videos. This is beautiful. This does away with the Acts 28:28 theory, because this is the missing link. Boy, wouldn't the evolutionists love to find a missing link that will link the monkey with human. There is no such thing as a missing link, because monkeys aren't linked to human. They're separate species. However, this is the opposite thing that's happening here, you see. This is a missing link that links Paul, the Philippians Paul. This is one of the prison epistles. This is one of the epistles that they say are greater and better than all the rest. It's one thing. Okay, you can say that, okay, this is greater than some other letters Paul wrote. Maybe, possibly. I would make the case that Romans is the greatest of all. I can make that case. But to say that these other letters Paul wrote, these early letters are not applicable. My goodness, that is a terrible crime. It's a terrible mistake. I have friends that are going down the rabbit hole of this mistake. And I'm making this video for them and for anybody else who is tempted by this. If Clyde just didn't write the freaking book and make outrageous statements like, don't waste your time, like expecting the Lord. Don't waste your time looking for the Lord. What? Are you kidding me? Oh, by the way, there's 144,000, yes? The 144,000 are 12,000 sealed from every tribe of Israel who are going to be going through the day of indignation. They're going to be alive. They're not going to die. First of all, they're sealed to go through the day of indignation. And actually, the circumcision have a similar situation at the end of the tribulation, at the return of Christ, because we know that the former resurrection will occur 75 days after the Lord sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. And I believe in that case, those who are living, who are surviving to the descent of Christ to the Mount of Olives, which is the only return of Christ that Clyde and company sees, those who survive will be greeting the Lord, and then they will be made immortal at that time. Because they're living saints, they'll be made immortal without dying. We have no specific scripture that says that those circumcision saints won't be dying, but they won't be. I mean, just by thinking it through. And then Peter, James, John, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the patriarchs, then they're coming up then, aren't they? Yes, they're coming up then. So the circumcision has the same situation. We don't have any specific revelation about them, you see, as we do with Paul. I wanted to say something today about resurrection versus transfiguration. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to save that for tomorrow. Let me go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, a prison epistle, I remind you, for our realm, 3:20, Philippians, for our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of which we are awaiting a Savior. Out of the heavens. We're awaiting him to come out of the heavens. How is it that Clyde could say, as I quoted him yesterday as saying, don't waste your time waiting for the return of Christ? Because that's for Israel. The return of Christ is for Israel. That's what the man said. The return of Christ is for Israel. I want to end with 1 Thessalonians 4. Because how can anything be clearer, plainer, more beautiful? Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according to the rest also of no expectation. For if we're believing that Jesus Christ died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God, through Jesus, lead forth together with him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven. Sounds like the verse I just read. Our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior. Out of which we are awaiting a Savior. We're awaiting a Savior where? Out of heavens. As a prison epistle. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians, an early letter. The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words.